everyone, welcome to the Add to My Playlist podcast. It's a thrill for me. I have a band that I've been following for a while now here on the screen with me, which is quite surreal. If you ever want to meet great bands, start a podcast, because you get to talk to these guys and you get the chance to talk music and everything. I'm excited. Killiam is here. We're going to be talking about all their amazing music. Jonas and Ryan are with me today on the podcast. And we're going to be sharing some songs with you as well. So, guys, welcome to the podcast. Jonas, Ryan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Jonas, where are you guys located in this world?
We are located in Valparaiso, Indiana. But typically we say we're based around Chicago.
Okay. There you go. Awesome. Ryan, how did you and Jonas meet?
So it was funny, actually. We both went to school together. And the early incarnation of Killiam played the school talent show. But it was just Jonas and our drummer, Kyle. And I said, hey, if you guys want a bass player, let me know. And Jonas said, no.
Oh, wait.
And Jonas, my old metal band, my embarrassing high school metal band that every kid has to have. And it was, as Jonas said, like my audition to join Killiam, pretty much.
There you go. So you made it. That's good.
Yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
Cool. So how long have you guys been together then?
We have been together since friends since like 2018, right?
I'd say 2018.
Started. So yeah, about 2018 we'd been friends, and then Ryan didn't officially join until about 2020-ish, where he hopped on bass, and then eventually we flipped the script, and he got on guitar, and I was on bass.
Well, that's pretty cool. Okay, so Jonas, you were doing this kind of on your own then at the very beginning, is that right? When I listened back to some of the older stuff online, is that just you doing everything? Is that how it was?
Just about. Okay. So Killiam started as a solo project for me to get all of my creative juices out, because we went to a very small high school and there weren't many kids who were into punk rock like I was. So I just started fiddling around with GarageBand and just making all my demos. And in 2017, I just clamped down and said, screw it, I gotta like finish something. So I put out an EP with like the GarageBand auto drummer, and then I decided to learn how to record drums. And that's the only thing that I just never been able to do is drums. So I got Kyle, who I had previously done a talent show with, to do drums on our second release, Valentine's, which was recorded very badly. But I slapped that together with Kyle. We put that out. And then, of course, Kyle's been part of the project ever since.
It's amazing. So where do you guys play? Just locally? Where are you guys out touring and doing stuff?
So locally, it's kind of hard. There's not too many places out here in Valpo. There is one really nice place, a bar called Franklin House, that we love playing there. But we can't play there every weekend, you know? Yeah. So we gotta kind of outsource where we go. We hit up Illinois a lot. We're looking to go anywhere we can. We've been to Wisconsin and Missouri. Hopefully get to like Michigan and Ohio at some point. But we're just trying to like hit a couple little places here and there, over and over, just to kind of cultivate, you know, some kind of a following, because it's kind of hard to where we are right now.
Ryan, from your perspective, what's your musical background? What you talked about your metal band, which we all have in high school. What else have you been a part of? And what about music really do you love?
I love my music, just the raw expression of emotion with it. How you can just put your whole soul out on the table and let the audience consume it. I always really enjoyed that. My musical background comes from, when I grew up, I was like being that whole new wave of British heavy metal, all those bands. The Saxons, UFO, Deep Purple, Thin Lizzy. And then as I kind of grew up, I started discovering more like modern bands, even older bands, started discovering like progressive rock, punk, jazz, blues, like really just immersed myself in music. I mean, Jonas knows the amount of times that we've driven together and done like trips to shows. My playlist goes from Stevie Wonder to Black Sabbath to Rush to Kiss to Thin Lizzy to Gary Moore to just whatever sounds good. I always say a good song is a good song no matter the genre, and that's what I truly believe in.
Jonas, what kind of bands stand out for you? What kind of shape your music?
Yeah, so I've been a diehard Beatles fan since I was about 9. and so that was all I would listen to up until middle school when I discovered punk rock, and then I got into the hardcore punk of California, from Black Flag to the Dead Kennedys and Descendants and stuff. What really shapes my musical output, though, would be bands like I said, Black Flag, Harvey Danger. I love Harvey Danger. Black Sabbath, of course, you got to have Nirvana and Green Day in there. Dilly Dally and Pocket Vinyl, to name some smaller, huge influences on me. But like Ryan, my taste is pretty eclectic. I agree with him on that sentiment that it doesn't matter what genre it is. If it's a good song, it's a good song. And funnily enough, our tastes always seem to miss each other. We kind of cover the entire musical spectrum separately. So we're always, you know, exposing each other to something new. But yeah, I don't just listen to punk rock, but as far as influences go, that's about it.
Cool. All right. Yeah. My friend's in a band here in locally where I am. They're called the Maysides. And I think they would be an amazing band to for you guys to do something with in the future. But they have a very similar feel to their music as well. I love it. I love the energy that's in there. And I love your live track. I was listening to those before we jumped on here. And you have a live version of one of your albums out. And it's just this, you can hear the growl of the guitars and everything in the background. Like the song hasn't even started yet, but it's already like, we're ready to go. I love that. It's amazing.
Ryan's always revving the engine, you know, but that keeps the energy up. It's great.
Talk about your live show, Ryan. What do you love to play live? What's one of your favorite songs to hit the stage with?
So my favorite, I have two favorite songs we play in the Killiam set, and thankfully we play them every single night. My first one is the first track we played called For the Love of God, because it's my most musically smart song on guitar. So, I mean, I'm not a trained musician. I don't know music theory. I don't even know the notes. I'm not going to lie to you. But that song, like, and even Jonas can say it's a really smart song, like the way that I've approached, because Jonas brought the song in and it was power chord. So I kind of took the power chord, you know, changed stuff around, added arpeggios, added funny stuff, and like, it's a really well thought out piece that I have to play every night. I'm also thankful it's the first song, though, so that way I get out of the way, because it's also extremely challenging for me every night because it's a very smart song.
Nice.
And the other song, and Jonas knows this one too, the song you call Candlestick, for one simple reason. I get to use my double neck Les Paul every night on stage.
When you open the case for that guitar, is there like a choir in the background that will as you open the case?
At least in my head.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But yeah, no, I bought that guitar on a whim, and that was the guitar that made me say to Jonas, like, hey, I want to play guitar in Killiam. But I was like, I have all these guitars, I have all this stuff to be a guitarist, and I don't want to play bass. I was like, I'm sorry, Jonas, I can't. And I think that double neck, I think the double neck's what did it for him. He said, fine, if you're going to have it, might as well.
There you go. So Jonas, were you okay jumping over to bass in the band? Was that a hard switch for you?
Yeah. So I had, like I said, this started as a solo project, so I never really intended for this to fully become like a band. So I had never really thought about where I fit on the stage exactly. So I'm still kind of finding my footing. I love bass guitar. Honestly, I really don't mind it. And I'm really, you know, finding a home on it now. But that switch was really seamless, just because when I was doing the records, I was doing the bass anyway. So I already knew all the parts, you know, I own bass guitars. And Ryan is just so much better at guitar. I figured it just made sense for him to tackle those duties, at least while we don't have another person to take over bass. So I just kind of fill that out while he works his magic.
There you go. So what about the whole writing process, Jonas? Is it difficult to do stuff in a group setting where you're at the beginning, you're doing it all on your own pretty much?
Oh, it's actually much easier in a group setting. So the process so far hasn't changed all that much, just because of personal things going on, and we can't always quite get together to hash stuff out so quick. But at some point we'll get to that point. But as it stands right now, it's pretty similar to how it was, where I demoed the songs myself. I'll record everything, get it how I want it, give it to the band, and then see what they think of it. And they'll add their parts here and there. I'm happy that this second album that we're working on, which is very, very close to being done now, has taken as long as it has, because it gave us time to practice the songs and get some kind of mojo flowing with a lot of them. So they feel a lot fuller than some of the songs on her first record. So throwing that band element really helped the songs thrive, in my opinion, breathed life into them, really.
And then, Ryan, you get a chance to put your spin on stuff and add your musical taste and style to what Jonas is bringing. That stuff's been seamless for you as well in the band?
Well, yeah, because Jonas and I worked, like, just beyond being friends, we worked together on music since 2019.
Yeah.
So I kind of know, in a way, how he likes to think, and he knows how I like to think. Well, not every idea always works. I can always anticipate, like, will Jonas like this idea? And I can usually anticipate, okay, hey, I think Jonas will like this. Let's think about it and pursue it further. Or, hey, you know, Jonas, he hasn't been a fan this last time I tried it. Let's avoid that idea. So it's been really, at least for me, it's been really nice because I'm also in a band that is very pro, let's work out this song. Let's think about this song. Let's not just say, hey, my demo is the final version and that's it.
So Ryan, your preference between live on stage or in studio? Where's your happy spot?
I enjoy playing live.
Yeah.
I've always been a performer. I've always enjoyed just that whole aspect. I mean, the studio's fun to have time to experiment, to have fun, to make these songs whole. But live is where I just have the most fun. That's where I get to just be me on stage for 35, 40 minutes and be the guy.
Nice. Jonas, same thing for you. Live on stage or in the studio? Where's your happy spot?
I'm a born introvert.
Okay, yeah, me too.
This started as a studio project because I just love experimenting and sitting in my own little happy place and, you know, working it out. Not to say I don't like playing live. I love playing live. It's a great energy to feel, you know. I'm just not a very bombastic person. So I'm still sort of learning. I'm still sort of learning how to be up on stage and what to do, and night to night I'm always learning, like, oh, that didn't quite work, you know, I'll do something a little weird or whatever. If there's anything that's a highlight at a live show, it's just watch the weird short guy and see what he comes up with this night.
I love it.
You approve of that, Ryan? You approve? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun because Jonas, and I think he's a natural born performer on stage. The way he moves and grooves, the way he like when he's at the mic, the way like he enunciates stuff, the way he's moving with it. Like, I watch back old Killian footage, like, no, like, Jonas got it. Like, he understands how to be a live musician. That's how I say it, at least.
Well, thank you.
See what a loving moment we're having. So as a three piece, any limitations, anything that's hard as a three piece that, you know, having one more guitar player or one other musician in the band would make it easier? Do you love three piece, or is this kind of, is it a challenge sometimes musically?
I certainly have a couple opinions on that. Honestly, a lot of the Killian stuff is pretty simple. So a three piece does kind of work for a lot of it. However, initially when we did start, we wanted it to be a four piece. And we had a couple fill-ins at the very, very start of it being a live band. And there's just, you know, some power that's lost without the other guitarist. And I've been trying to bring that back with like how I approach my bass with its effects and stuff. There are also just some songs that we have just kind of deemed we can't do that until we get a second guitarist. So there are pros and cons. Personally, I really like the idea of a three piece, but if we ever have a chance to get another guy in here, you know, I won't say no unless it, you know, means trekking halfway across the country to get the band and stuff, you know.
Yeah. The bigger the band, the more gear, the more trying to squeeze everybody into a vehicle, they will travel, and yes, there's all that, right? And you got to have room for the double neck. So that obviously will be travel for sure.
Yeah, the double neck is one person pretty much. So yeah. Right there, that's the fourth member right there.
There you go.
It's the fourth and fifth member.
I love
but
it.
But no, I really enjoy being a three-piece. I really think it's something unique too, especially like in our area, to have a band that has these like kind of complex thought-out songs as a three-piece. Because there's a lot of bands that really kind of fit with our same idea, and it's four people. But three people, we just stand out a little bit more. And it's fun too, only because Jonas is really short, I'm really average, and our drummer Kyle is really tall. Like, we got to find out if somebody extremely short or even taller than Kyle to fit in.
Yeah, you have that's to have a complete lineup. We're at that I love point. It. Yeah, okay, good. Well, I'm a big fan of three-piece bands. I know, like, I'm in Canada, so Rush is huge here, obviously. But
yes,
to go and see three people who can create that much sound like you guys do, that is That's amazing from an audience perspective. You're like, how is it possible that these three people can make that big of a sound on that stage? That is amazing. You're thinking there'd be like 5-6 people up there just to capture what you guys are doing. And that's really cool how you can fill a room musically with the three of you. There's a lot of space there too, which I like in music. When you only have a limited amount of people up on stage, it forces you to be creative and to take your recordings, which you have unlimited tracks. You can do have 35 guitars on that song. How do you bring that into a live setting and make it stand on its own? That's a challenge.
That reminds me of when my dad heard Dirty Rotten, when we put that out. We'll talk about that later, I know. But I just want to do a little tidbit because we're a three piece, of course, when we play live. And Ryan has a little bit where he's wailing on in between verses. And my dad looks at me. He's like, "How are you guys going to do that live? You only got one guitarist." I'm like, "You don't need another guitarist. Mm-hmm. You just do it."
Yeah.
Nobody cares. It still works, you know, and it sounds good.
Well, I think it works too. And like what Jonas said, he has very inventive bass lines. He's not just chugging on the Rube note and jumping around. When he was recording his bass for Dirty Rotten in the studio, I was watching him like, oh, wow, like that's like that. Like you could have had no guitar on that song. It would have been just as interesting hearing just the bass. Like it's a really like there's really smart bass parts that fill in what a rhythm guitar could have done with this band.
Cool. Do you guys do anything unique on stage that you don't do? It's not on the recordings that you just throw stuff in like, you know, Jonas is on just by himself or. You just got the drum parts kicking in and everybody backs out. For me, musically, when I play, I love to kind of see the song kind of have a flow to it, kind of like a roller coaster moments where everybody's in and then pull back. And it just kind of makes the audience connect with the song a little bit more because you can spotlight somebody without doing your typical, you know, cheesy solo bits. It's like you just pull back a little piece of the song so you can something else kind of rises to the top. Do you guys do that live at all?
Not particularly to the effect that I think you're speaking of. There are certainly things we do live that we don't have in the studio, but more so as a consequence of Ryan not being in the band and Kyle not being an active writing member at the time. So if there are any songs that somebody's a fan of from our first album, those songs are so different live. If we recorded those today, they would be totally different. Feed It, for example, like we're talking about today, Ryan has had a field day the past couple of years just playing with that and like improving it and like just doing all these weird little things that I hear. You know, at some point, we'll probably go back into the studio and like do a little, you know, reworking. But it's crazy how some of those songs from Hollow have evolved over the past couple of years. Another highlight. To bring up Candlestick again, that one changes kind of night to night because we're still kind of feeling that one out. And the live energy for that one is insane because it's such like an emotional song and such a trudge kind of. It really forces the audience to like kind of take a step back and pay attention.
Yeah, I get that when I listen to it. I think I can feel that trudge you're talking about. That makes sense. Okay, let's jump into that. Let's talk about the first song. Then let's talk about Feed It. Ryan, anything from your perspective when you hit the stage and Feed It's the next song on the set list? A little bit in your stomach, a little excitement, or like what are you thinking as that song's coming up next on the list?
For me, that song's like a feel good song. That song is around with Killiam so long that like people that I know, that's one of those songs that is a Killiam staple. Like, we have to play it. Okay. So I always get really excited because I know the audience loves that song. I love the song. I remember when Jonas showed me the old demo, like back when Hollow was still like being recorded, I remember thinking like that song's good. So then getting to now not just be a fan of the song, but get to now play it for other fans of the song, I always appreciate that moment in the set. It's always a very like humbling moment as like a performer to say, okay, this isn't just about me playing my funny little guitar leads and all my win-a-din-a-din-a-nin-a-nin-a-s. It's now actually about bringing the audience a song they love, performed by a band they probably like.
That's a shirt right there. That's a great one. The song you love from the band you might like. I like it. What other songs kind of surround this in the set list, Jonas, when you guys play this song live? What really fits well before and after this tune?
So as far as the set list go, we're still trying to figure that out. I feel like we're getting onto a good thing. But typically, I love to go from Feed It to Tonight because it ends on the exact same bass note that Tonight starts with.
That's convenient.
So it's a nice transition that we've kind of developed, and I love that. As far as like before it, you know, it doesn't quite matter. We're still figuring that out. But one thing's sure, you'll always hear Feed It before the halfway point of the set. That's for sure.
Always up front then. Good. Talk about the song, Jonas, and writing the song, and like, what was the beginning story, origin of this song? How did it begin?
Yeah. So this is sort of an untold part of the history that during like 2018, I was in another band playing bass, and I was just kind of getting my feet wet with like playing and like figuring that stuff out, sort of to scope out what to expect when doing Killiam later down the line. And so I started writing for this band. And so Feed It originally started as a song that I was going to propose for another band. But before I could do that and finish it, that band dissolved. So I was left holding the bag, and I was like, well, I got to do something with this thing. Yeah. So I finished it. I totally reworked what it was about and stuff. In short, it's kind of a song about like toxic relationships, not exactly like romantic relationships, but it can apply there. Just like broken relationships in general, between like family or friends or whatever, that can never quite get it right, and you're kind of bound to it. It's a pretty, like, I don't know, emotionally charged, angsty track. I kind of based it off the framework of like the Nevermind sound, you know, the Nirvana album. I think it's kind of weird that it is kind of like our staple song, because when I was writing it, I was literally kind of thinking that. At the time, I was like, oh, this is, you know, the best one I have at that moment. And it's still kind of the best one we have up until the new album comes out, at least. But yeah, that like quiet verses to a loud chorus and stuff, that was all shaped by like the Nirvana influence. So yeah, it's always crazy to me when I look at like Spotify and I see that it just hit over 1,000 streams.
Nice.
Crazy. People like my little song, and I'm just really proud of it.
So tell me about the guitar tone in the beginning, in the softer part of that song. What is that? How do you play it live, Ryan, as well? Like, talk about that tone, that sound.
So when I was recording it, and even still, I guess I'm not that big of a tone guy. I'm trying to be a tone guy. I'm an aspiring tone guy, but I'm not right now, just yet. And I wasn't then. And so what you hear on All Over the Hollow album is just a straight orange amp with the gain like turned way up. No pedals, anything. I didn't even own a pedal board at the time. My philosophy at the time was the super punk mentality. That was, if it's not simple and you can't just get up there and turn on and go, don't do it, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of the whole thing. Any reverb on that album came from the reverb switch on my amp or from the reverb knob on GarageBand. That album was mixed in GarageBand, by the way, which is
really,
yeah, looking back, you know, at the time it didn't seem like such a ridiculous thing, but looking back now that I use Logic and I'm working with a producer and stuff on the new album, it's pretty primitive, honestly. It's hilarious, really, thinking about it.
But that also feeds the sound of what you're doing as well, right? That's kind of the idea.
Sure. Yeah, that DIY thing. Just, yeah. I've always been a big believer in, you know, it. You know, if you have a vision, just go for it. You know, don't worry about how, you know, getting the best thing, the best sound. You can always improve later or redo stuff. But like, you know, get your vision out. Do it as best as you can. And just like work through whatever limitations you have. Like you said earlier, I really think those confines really just breed creativity, sort of.
I love it. Ryan, are you a gear guy? You dance all over the stage with pedals? What's your setup for this song in particular?
So what I used to use actually was a Digitech Whammy pedal that I put on the shallow setting that kind of gave it a whole like warbly wide sound. But I stopped using it for a while. I tried using a phaser and some delay. But I think we'll bring the Digitech back because it just has that, reminds me of like a Leslie speaker, like what John Lord like used to use, like that Leslie that would spin. Yeah. It has that same sound. And to me, that song really, I know it's like just a bunch of reverb and like ambiatic guitar that Jonas used, but like just that Leslie feel of the whole wah, wah.
Yeah.
Is really nice on that verse. It really helps, I think, build that sound.
What's the response when you guys play this one live? What is the crowd? How did the crowd react to this one?
It's always pretty positive. Yeah. I think Ryan might have more to say than me, but it's always really positive. The energy that gets fed into us always feeds back out into them, especially when we play it closer to home, you might even hear one or a couple of people even just like doing the pre-chorus or the chorus with us. It's honestly really exciting when that happens. You know, it's crazy to hear people sing back at me what I wrote like in my little tiny room like a couple of years ago. Yeah, it's always a riot live.
Yeah, the audience definitely really enjoys it. I'm really happy to do it early in the show too, because it gets the audience immediately like two or three songs in. Here's one that I really know and really like, and they really feed a great energy back. Like Jonas says, we have a lot of fun playing, as we put a very positive energy out, and then people bring a positive energy right back in. It's always a fun song to play.
Awesome. So normally in this point in the podcast, I'm the one usually saying this, like, this is Gilliam, this is Feed It. But Ryan, would you care to do that? Would you like to invite everyone to add this to their playlist, hence the name of the podcast, and set it up, and we're going to get people to add this song to their playlist right now. Well, let's get you some more streams on that song. Ryan, you okay with that?
Of course.
Okay, go
for it. Of course. Listeners, do me a favor. This is Killiam's Feed It. I want you to add to your playlist.
Hey, thanks for dropping by the Add to My Playlist podcast. This is the external version of our podcast for non-Spotify listeners. But if you go to Spotify and sign up, you can actually hear the song played here in the podcast without leaving. It's great. Otherwise, you can check us out on YouTube. We'll have links to the songs that we're speaking about within the podcast that you can click on and hear the songs there on YouTube. But thank you so much for listening to the Add to My Playlist podcast. Jump over to Spotify and check us out over there and see what you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Okay, welcome back to the Add to My Playlist podcast. I'm here with Jonas and Ryan. We're here for the next song that they're proposing for us to add to our playlist. And guys, great to have you back here. The next song, the title of it, I want to make sure I got this right. Dirty Rotten Dirty. Is it Dirty Rotten Dirty, or is it just Dirty Rotten Bracket Dirty?
I would say Dirty Rotten Dirty. So Dirty Rotten Dirty is titled that because I like to be a smartass with my song titles sometimes. You'll see that when the album comes out. You'll look at the track list and you go, what is this guy on? But no, so the original germ of Dirty Rotten Dirty on my phone memos app was just titled Dirty. And then later down the line, of course, I wrote the lyrics and stuff, and it eventually developed the title of Dirty Rotten. But I always like the succinct title of Dirty. So I just thought it'd be really funny to just put that on the end. Just put it right there. Just Dirty Rotten, also known as just Dirty.
Just Dirty. I love it. Okay, so where did this song fit in and around the time of Feed It then?
So it's pretty far removed from the time of the first album. I believe Dirty was one of, if not the first song I started writing specifically for our new album, after we had started playing together at least in a basement altogether. I'm not sure if we had started playing out yet, but we were practicing at least. And so this would be around like 2020. I guess that is around when Hollow came out, but 2020 or 2021, I brought it to them. We worked on it a little bit, but then I kind of forgot about it, honestly, for about half a year, and then picked it up a little bit later and finished it proper. But yeah, not much of a relationship to Feed It, but I guess I did start writing it around the time that song came out, now that I'm thinking about it.
Ryan, from your perspective, where does this one sit for you in the set list? What's fun for you to play on this song?
So this song, for me, I'm really happy too. It's another early song in the set. I think it's the third or fourth song we do. What makes it fun for me, it's a very nice, fun, punky pop song. Great chorus, even if you don't know the words, you want to sing along.
Yeah.
But for me, it's always fun because my guitar solo, this is a point of contention with me and Jones for a long time, because he had a noise solo on the demo for like a long time. He was like, I want a noise solo, Ryan, and you can't have picked out notes. And I just said, okay, sounds good, Jonas. And I composed the guitar solo. But it was fun for me too, because I don't know if you know the band Sabotage. They were an old 80s metal band that then became Trans-Siberian Orchestra. There's this one lick that I didn't rip off. It's like a lot of the whole as you know, the song goes exactly like that. it's like almost like a reference to the guitarist who passed away, but he's like been a really big influence in the past 6, 7, 8 months. I've really dug into the band. Like my little tip of the hat to him being a better musician than me, having being able to actually think of that by himself without ripping it off. But it's a really fun song for me. It's not a challenging song, but it's really, you have to be in the pocket for the song to like fit well live.
Cool. Jonas, tell us about the lyrics behind the song and what are you hoping to address here lyrically through the song?
Yeah. So Dirty Rotten Dirty toys with the idea that humanity is kind of like evolved past itself, and it runs with that idea. Kind of. So the way I see it, kind of as humans, we're really creative little vessels, and we've crafted such a total environment for ourselves and society with the technology we have to make ourselves comfortable. And while that's nice, we also have a habit of preying on each other. And so comfort items, things like your smartphone or your computer, your Facebooks, TikToks even, I don't know, some of those really suck us in and take up all of our time, not necessarily to sound like somebody that thinks all phones are bad and stuff, but like really, like it can suck us in and take up all of our time and our creative stuff, and you could be doing better things. And so we're kind of like happily distracted. And while we had a good thing going with a lot of that stuff, it's all dirty rotten now.
I get it.
I suppose, though it's reductive, it can boil down to phone bad, but it's not exactly that. It's a little more nuanced than that. I'm just pretty bad at talking, to be honest with you. I prefer to write lyrics.
So at no point here are you asking for the audience to throw their phones onto the stage in like as the song is playing, like, oh, here, take my phone. I agree with you. That's not what you're encouraging by any means, right?
If I get a phone thrown at me, I'm leaving.
There you go.
No, but yeah, I didn't want the message to be like, oh, phones are bad and stuff, but like kind of just the message is, oh God, the word just left me. Keep your eyes open, you know, be aware of what's going on, how you use your time, be here now, kind
of. Oh, I like that. There's a picture I saw of, I don't know who it was, but there's this older lady against the fence, kind of keeping people back. Everybody is partaking in whatever's happening, and they're all on their phones. She has no phone in her hand, but she's just soaking it in. You know, mm-hmm. She's just standing there looking and watching whatever's happening, but everyone else is looking it through the lens of their phone. And it's like, who's enjoying the moment more, right? All these people who want to get the best angle and try to get a captured moment on their phone, or this woman who's got no phone, she's just there taking it in and enjoying the moment. And it kind of feels like that, right?
Yeah, and it turns out most of the time they don't even watch the video they're taking, you know? And it's like, what's the point? At that point, it's like, what's the point, you know? Just be there, you know?
Yeah.
Watch it.
Somebody said to me once, wherever you are, be all there. So musically, on stage, in the studio, in life, with your relationships, your friendships, you know, we're all sitting there on our phone staring at this little thing we carry with us everywhere. And we're missing out on opportunities, even as a band, to connect with each other, do life together. You know, it's more than music for you guys to get together and do this together. There's, you know, there's relationship, there's friendship, there's stories. And if we can live a little outside of the phone, I think we'll get a better perspective on life. It's a pretty deep moment we're having here right now, but that's kind of, I like that's where we're going with it.
Sure.
Ryan, do you feel that too in the song lyrically?
I'm very honest with you when I say this. I never pay attention to like the lyrics of any Killiam song. I just play the guitar.
There you go.
I just play the guitar at the end of the day. Like, I'm aware of what the song's about. I always try and like pick up the words. But the first time I think I actually heard every lyric and knew what Jonas was saying was when the song was put on Spotify and I listened to it.
There you go. So Ryan's learning all about the band today. I feel this is great because I'm with Ryan here as we're learning all the lyrics and learning about the story behind the song. So for the benefit of Ryan and I, it's been great for this podcast because we're both learning about the lyrics. So Jonas, this is great. You're a great teacher. So tell us anything else about this song that is kind of a hidden gem, something that we might not know, any hidden stories about the song as we kind of get people to add this to their playlist in a moment. Jonas?
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's a pretty simple song, to be honest with you. Not too many journeys had, though it was exciting recording it because I had been producing everything up until this point. basically. It was just me recording everything, trying to mix things horribly, not even properly really mastering them. So we eventually, I eventually said, I can't keep doing this, and I got to find somebody to take care of this. And Ryan was already friends with a guy named Alex, who's in another band, Scarlet D'Amour, who produces stuff really, really well, and he has his own little studio. So I finally broke down and was like, okay, we'll do the next thing proper. And so we went into the studio, got a bunch of basic tracks down, but Dirty Rotten was the very first song that we just hunkered down and finished. And that was a real trip, just to go from proper tracking all the way up to the final moment. It was just something I had never experienced before, because before it was just me doing, okay, I'll do a take in my basement, I'll do a take, you know, just kind of self doing stuff. But it was nice to have somebody there kind of pushing you to your limits. I remember during the solo, the bass does some pretty weird stuff. I don't remember if any of it got, I'd have to refresh myself with the song, which we'll do in a second. But listen closely during the second half of the solo, because you might hear the bass doing some runs, because I started just kind of fiddling around on one take, and Alex stopped and was like, give me a bunch of that, just do a bunch of that. And I was like, are you sure? I'm not like a solo guy. Ryan's the guy with the solos. So even though my noise solo got removed from that song, I at least kind of came out on top anyway.
So one small win for Ryan in the mix there. I love that. So we'll listen for a little bit of bass runs there. Yeah, I'm a bass player as well, so I'll be checking out and listening for that. I love that stuff, because when you first hear a song on Spotify or wherever you listen to your music, you kind of, the song plays through and you're like, that was cool. But then when you get a little piece of it, you're like, wait a minute, listen for this at this minute, this second, listen for that. It's like, I want to rewind that part. I drive my wife nuts, because I'm like, did you hear that? She's like, what? It's whatever. I'm like, rewind, yeah. rewind. She's like, okay, I got it. So I kind of like those little moments in music. That's really cool. Jonas, you queued up for us. Ryan did such a great job. No pressure. Ryan did an amazing job queuing up the first song.
Ryan did such a good job.
I know. He didn't even need his double neck at all. He just stepped right up to the mic and hit a home run. No pressure, Jonas. I know. I need you. We're both rooting for you. Ryan and I are both rooting for you. Jonas, can you cue up this song and invite people to add this to their playlist, please? It's all you.
All right. Thanks for listening. This is Killiam's Dirty Rotten Dirty. Add this to your playlist.
See, Ryan, I told you could do it. That was awesome.
Look at that. Round of applause.
Okay, so I know you're not a musician.
I got it. Okay.
What if you're just a music lover? Yes. Perfect. You're the perfect person to come on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Share with us your favorite breakup song, your summertime put the convertible top down song, maybe your wedding song. What was your first dance? Oh, come on. All romantic. Come on the Add to My Playlist podcast and share your favorite song and the story behind it. We would love to have you. Yes, you. You love music. Come on the Add to My Playlist podcast today. Okay, so that was Dirty Rotten Bracket Dirty here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. We have both Jonas and Ryan here, and we're talking all things Killiam. So, Ryan, I'm excited to hear what's coming up next for the band. You guys are talking about the album being in your near completion. When is the timeline? Do you guys have an idea of when the next album is going to be ready for us to download and add to our playlist?
So what's shaping up to is we're releasing an EP August 25th, or just like a little taste of the album called Taste of Flies, because the name of the album is Manifesting Flies, with a show at Shubas in Chicago the day before to kind of celebrate the EP release.
Okay.
Yeah, so album recording just wrapped up a couple weeks ago, so now Alex has the hectic job of mixing. It's not exactly 10 songs. It's like 8 songs now. But he has the hectic job of doing that. And that'll come out in October. But yeah, so first up, we have a show August 24th in Chicago at Shubas. And then an EP of basically what are the singles. So Dirty Rotten plus 2 other songs coming out the 25th. Very excited about that.
And what's the name of the new album, Jonas?
The new album is called Manifesting Flies.
Okay, yes, that's right. Okay, good. How many tracks?
That's going to be a 10 song album. A nice. I think 10's a good number for an album. I think Weezer would agree on that.
When I was thinking of, when I heard you guys the first time, I thought this was like the, you guys like a different version of Weezer that you kind of need like an inhaler, because you guys are like a little bit stronger, a little bit harder, and you know, but there's a little kind of a nod to kind of how they approach music as well. So another band for me, when I was listening to you guys originally, they're out of Scotland, I believe. They're called The Alarm. They've been around since like the early 80s, which is a long time ago, I know. But their early stuff, you can tell they were a band just figuring out life and figuring out music. And there's some stuff in what you write. And you probably have, I don't even think you've even heard of this band, but The Alarm, they're just amazing. So check them out. Like go way back to their early stuff. And I think you'll hear a little bit of your stuff that kind of just sort of feeds into that. And it kind of, I felt like it was like a little, if you guys could travel back in time, there's a little bit of that that seems to come out in your music, which is quite cool. And I just love the mix of everything that's in your band, because it's kind of like, take all of your favorite stuff and all of Ryan's favorite stuff, throw it in a blender, hip puree. And that's kind of what Killiam turns out to be, is this mix of everything, right? And I love the fact that maybe, Jonas, you're more left brain and more Ryan's more right brain, but you're still one brain. You're still together, right? And kind of creating this music together. So I love that. Ryan, what's next for you? Another double neck guitar? What's coming up for you musically as well?
For me, musically, it's more or less just working with Jonas to give Killiam the platform to be the biggest band in the whole universe.
Come on. Of course.
That's my next plan. Make Killiam the biggest band. My plan is definitely for the next year, because I also do like a lot of the booking and kind of management of the band. Bring us into some new markets and some familiar territory. I do really want to go to Canada. It's just, I want to go to Canada. Like, this is even like, it's been a dream for me to do, I call it the Killiam Rush Tribute Tour.
Ooh.
In parentheses, we don't play any Rush. And all it is, we go to Cleveland, Ohio and do a show in Cleveland, then take a day off to go to Canada and like explore Canada, have fun. And then play Canada, Toronto, Canada, solely because of Rush. Jonas is not a big Rush guy. I'm trying to convert him.
Come on, we'll get there eventually. We'll work on him.
We'll get him eventually. But no, it's like, that's a pet project. I do want to get us, like Jonas said, in like Michigan, Ohio. I want to get us like further down in Indiana and kind of further into Illinois and Iowa, and just break us into some new markets and kind of start putting feelers out of, okay, like Missouri, we went over really well one time and really okay the second time. So let's try again and see what happens. You know, go to Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin. Like, go there again. You know, Iowa, we kind of dabbled in there like earlier this year. We're not like really hit it hard for like two or three shows. See what happens. Cool. And just kind of getting this band to not just be, hey, we're from Chicago, but like, hey, make us like, hey, if you're booking in the Midwest in general, here's a band that can play. You know, have band, will travel. That's what I always believed.
There you go. So for Ontario, Canada, put Horseshoe Tavern on the top of your list. That is like an iconic place here in Canada for bands to play. We have the Tragically Hip up here in Canada. That's one of their places that we would play in the back in the day. Really popular place. Horseshoe Tavern. Really, really good. Make sure you put that on your list. I will be there front row center, obviously with free tickets.
You better be.
Because, you know, hey, that's what we do. You know, and that double neck guitar has got to get some miles on it. So I'm looking forward to seeing where you guys end up next. It's really cool. Jonas, for those people following the band, where do we go? How do we connect? If I'm a club owner, if I'm putting on a new show and I'm looking for a great band on my roster for the next big event, how do I get in touch with you guys and how do I book you guys? Through Ryan?
Yeah. So you can find us on any social media. It's always at Killiam Official. We're most active on Instagram, and a lot of the time we speak with other bands and start the booking process through DMs on there. But if you want to go straight to us, you can find us at our email, killiamofficial@gmail.com. Reach out. We'd love to talk to you. We're always looking to play. You know, we can't get enough of it, honestly. Like Ryan said, have band, we'll travel.
Nice. The other thing too, I guess, Ryan, is from your perspective, the people who follow the band, the people who love the music there, come to the shows, they're listening to the episode to get a little bit more of Killiam in their life, because we all need that. What is your message to those that just love all things Killiam here's your chance to talk to them directly. What do you want to say to them?
I guess what I want to say is thank you for humoring me and Jonas on our dumb little dream. That's all it is. Just letting us have our fun. Let us be the guy for like 40 minutes. It's fun.
Awesome. Jonas, from your perspective, what do you want to say to those diehard Killiam fans out there? They got all the merch. They got it all. They're waiting for the next album. What do you want to say to them?
Thank you.
There you go. That's easy.
That's my go-to response. But honestly, thank you so much. I'm so excited for everyone to hear what's next and what's coming. Yeah, just thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for making time. I know I took a big chunk of your day. And there's a double neck guitar in the corner waiting to be played. And there's a new song to write. So, you know, you guys got stuff to do. So thank you for making time to be on my show. And again, if you're a promoter or you got a spot, you need a band that you need now, and they're just going to kick it, you need these guys in your show for sure. Reach out to Killiam and have them both on. Jonas, Ryan, thank you both for making time for me.
Thank you. Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Awesome. Great job, guys.
It was a lot of fun.
Hey guys, just jumping on here quick. This is the Add to My Playlist podcast. My name is Dave. If you go to our website, truemediasolutions.ca/Add to My Playlist, you can now leave us a voicemail and we'll put you on the podcast. Yes, you can be on the podcast. We would love to have you on. Leave us a message when you go there. This is what it sounds like. I recorded one. I'm going to insert it right here so you can hear what it sounds like. Leave us a message. Tell us what your favorite episode was. Who else should we talk about on the podcast? Who should we have as a guest? You tell us. Your voice on our podcast. I love this. Here we go. This is what it sounds like. So I'm over here on truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. I'm on the website for the Add to My Playlist podcast. I see a great video looking for guests. I see all kinds of great stuff here about the Add to My Playlist podcast. And then there's this button. It says, leave us a message. We want to hear from you. A podcast that wants to hear from its listeners? OMG. Yes, you can go to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. And you can click the link and record a message, which we will include in our podcast. Do you want to hear your voice in the podcast? Leave us a comment. Leave us a suggestion. Hey, if you have a song that you want to hear featured on the Add to My Playlist podcast, record it right here on the website. We'll use you in the episode, and we'll give you full credit. Go to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist, hit the button, record a message, and we'll put you on the podcast. Thanks for listening to the Add to My Playlist podcast. So head over to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. Leave us a voicemail. Very simple. Come on, don't wait. We want to hear from you. Thanks.